Hare Krishna. I am very pleased and feel very honored to be here at Bhaktivedanta Manor and be able to address this wonderful community. Bhaktivedanta Manor is one of the most developed communities in the world, in ISKCON. The most. So certainly some of you may, when you are in a particular place, sometimes you don't appreciate as much as when you look at it from other places, from outside. But the fact is that there are not so many communities around the world where there is so much happening. I read the newsletter, and so it's very inspiring to be here. We are reading from this chapter describing how Hiranyakashipu wanted to become immortal. And this is a very relevant section of the Bhagavatam. I would like to speak a little bit about death. In the Bhagavatam, there are narratives of death and eternal life. This is actually a most important topic. And the seed question of the Bhagavatam asked by Maharaj Parikshit is about death. What is the duty of a human being? And especially, what is the duty of that human being who is about to die? And actually, all of us are about to die. Maharaj Parikshit knew he had only 7 days to live. According to the information he had received, he had been cursed. We do not know how many days more we have to live. For a devotee, nevertheless, living or dying, there is not really so much difference. Because for a devotee, living means devotional service. And this is actual life. And for and when dying, the devotee will continue serving Krishna. Whether he or she goes back to Godhead in this very lifetime, or whether by the will of the Lord, or because there is still a need for further service or purification, the devotee comes back. He will continue living a life of devotional service. And this is real life. Devotional service is real life. On the other hand, a non-devotee, a materialist, is not, even though he may think, I am enjoying life, I am living, he is not really living. A materialistic life is many times described as death, a dead life, which is an oxymoron, we could say in one way. So it seems contradictory how it is possible. A dead life. But actually this is ascribed in Srimad Bhagavatam, that even if someone is breathing and he seems to be very alive, but if that person is not worshipping the Lord, it is, he or she is dead. It's not really living. So we find many, many narratives of history, the history of the universe, in Srimad Bhagavatam describing death and immortality. And it comes back again and again. If we are not serving the Lord, we are dead bodies. We seem to be alive, but we are not. Yeke chatma hano janaha. the Sri Upanishad describes, speaks about the killer of the soul. How is it possible to kill the soul? The soul is eternal. The soul never dies. However, we talk about, or we hear about, the killer of the soul. Because we are, by engaging ourselves in superficial material activities, we are forgetting our loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the Lord. And we are not really experiencing our real life, the life of the soul, the life of the heart, the relationship, the real relationship. And we are going around trying to replace our original relationship, a loving relationship with God, with so many other superficial relationships. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is about, reveals the process for reviving our eternal relationship, loving relationship with Krishna, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this narrative of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj, it's very instructive in relation to the topic we are discussing. Hiranyakashipu will be the emblem of the materialistic person who seeks for immortality. But he's seeking immortality in an artificial way. And he's endeavoring, today we are reading, that actually he was performing Mahat Adbhutam. It is very great and wonderful. Ritsaram. Ritsaram means, Prabhupada translates it, as power of endurance. Power of endurance. So he was really endeavoring. He was very strong, very powerful, to the point that even ants and worms had eaten the flesh of the body. Can you imagine that? The animals are eating your body. Imagine, put yourself in such a situation. Will you be able to tolerate that? Of course, you are Brahmana, so you will not be able to tolerate it. But you can imagine how intense. Animals are eating your body, and you are keeping yourself determined to continue to go ahead, doing your work, your penance. So Hiranyakashipu was doing that. He was, you may remember from previous verses, he was standing on his toes and with his hands upwards, looking up, and very, very intense penance for many, many years. And this animal sitting his body, he didn't care. He was determined, I want to become God, no matter what. I will become God. And then his penance was so intense that fire was emanating from his hair. We hear many times that yogis keep their power, their tejas, in their hair. And this was expanding to everywhere in the universe, to the point that even the demigods became very disturbed. It was creating an imbalance in nature. And they had to approach Lord Brahma so that he will do something about it. And now Lord Brahma is congratulating Hiranyakashipu for his unparalleled feats, we will hear later on, that no one else will be able to perform similar activities like Hiranyakashipu. So penances to become immortal. And so Hiranyakashipu is the emblem of the dead person who wants to become it's deathly immortal, we could say. Deathly immortal. So he wants to remain dead forever. He's determined to remain far from devotion, from serving Krishna forever. So, and then Prahlad Maharaj, he's the emblem of the pure devotee who is about to be killed many, many times, but he remains immortal. Both, he is not killed even in an external way, he cannot be killed because the Lord is protecting him, and he cannot be killed, he is eternally engaged in the service of the Lord, so he's always blissfully serving Krishna. So, and this, we can reflect based on this, how immortality cannot be attained through artificial methods, through material endeavors. Material science is trying to find solutions to the problem of death. Srila Prabhupada describes many times that the real problems of life are birth, disease, old age, and death. And the ultimate problem is death. As soon as we are born, we are actually dying at every moment. For example, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Vasudev, Lord Krishna's father, was trying to convince Kamsa not to kill Devaki, he was saying that, why are you so much afraid of death? If you are 25 years old, that means you are dead 25 years. So you are constantly dying at every moment, at every second, we are dying. This body is dying. So we find also in Bhagavad Gita how the Lord is describes himself as death. Mrityu sarva harascham. I am all devouring death. So at every moment the Lord is manifesting, he's present. When our body is dying, this is Krishna. The Lord is acting within our bodies. And for a devotee, it's like, sometimes the example is given of the kitten and the mouse in the mouth of the cat. The experience of the kitten and the mouse in the mouth of the cat is very different. The kitten is like the devotee. The devotee, when the devotee is dying, he says that actually Krishna is taking me. Krishna is taking care of me. Of course, we know that this is not so easy to see. We can talk about it, but when we are really going through it, that's the test. Are we able to see Krishna at every moment when this is happening to us? Like we heard how Srila Prabhupada said, while he was in Vrindavan, he raised his hands and he was showing his body was in very bad condition from the external point of view. And Srila Prabhupada said, do not think this is not going to happen to you. This is going to happen. And yet, sometimes we still dream, maybe it will not happen to me. I will die like when I go to sleep, I put my head on the pillow and it takes 1 minute or two and that's it. Of course, this may happen, but this may not happen. This is Krishna's will. Krishna will make it happen as he sees it is necessary for the devotee, for the community of devotees, or according to the Lord's plan. What is the plan of the Lord for each and every one of us? We do not really know. We know, of course, the Lord, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas, we know the Lord wants us back home, back to Godhead. That much we know. But we do not know what does the Lord want to do with us. And the challenge is, okay, just to surrender to the plan of the Lord. And sometimes it is difficult. We don't, like for example, 2 days ago I was scheduled to fly from Madrid to London, and suddenly I found out a few hours before the flight time, the flight had been canceled due to the volcano ashes. So the volcano ashes were only in Spain. Before were everywhere but Spain. This time the ashes were only in Spain and the Atlantic Ocean. So I couldn't fly. So I decided, okay, I have to reach the manor because I have a meeting in Winchester University the next day. So it is important that I make it on time. So one devotee was driving to the north, so I drove with him. And he was going to drop me in North Spain, Irun, it's a town next to the French border, then take a train, if I will be able to find one, take a train, because I couldn't do it through internet, it was too short notice, take a train to Paris, and then take another train to come to London. So, and then I was reflecting that actually, it's a very uncertain, I didn't know, will I be able to make it or not, I don't know. I don't know. Will I be able to arrive on time? So, similarly, we do not know. Will we be able to make it before the time of death to become fully Krishna conscious? We do not know. We're fully dependent on Krishna and his doing. Finally, when we were reaching, suddenly an inspiration came. You should check some of the airports in North Spain. Maybe you find something. And this devotee who was driving me, he had these special connections for internet. So while driving on the car, we could do something, look into the different airports, I mean the site, and then check the different airports. And there was a flight from Bilbao at 3 p.m., so... And it arrived at the same time I was scheduled to arrive. To a, I will say, almost a better place. I think Heathrow is closer to than Gatwick. So I was meant to reach Gatwick, and then it arrived to Heathrow. But I felt like I cannot do anything. I cannot reach by my own endeavor. Only if Krishna allows it, I can reach. So similarly, we cannot become Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious, to the point that we will be able to remember Krishna at the time of death. by our own endeavor. Only by Krishna's mercy, and especially by the mercy of the Vaishnavas who are there to support us in this very crucial time. Like I read recently about the departure of Srimati Amikala Devidasi, and how all the community was supporting her in going back home, back to Godhead. So this is very important. Maharaj Pariksit also, he received the support of the community of sadhus. They came and they were there. Just their mere presence was giving a strength to Maharaj Pariksit. And Maharaj Pariksit, he was a Raja Rishi. Still, we find at the end of the Bhagavatam, Sri Shukadeva Goswami is emphasizing that, okay, no focus, do not fear. Because the tendency will be to feel fear. That's a tendency, that's the natural psychophysical condition of the embodied soul. Only that devotee who has received the full mercy of the Lord will be able to fully overcome fear. Otherwise, sometimes they say there are two things that makes people fearful: death and public speaking. Right? Even experienced speakers who are speaking every day, when you go to a new place you are not accustomed to speak, you have some, what they call it, scenic fear. Even if you jump, you say, okay, let's go, okay, I go for it. But the idea is that fear, that's a psychophysical condition of the embodied soul. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that the chanting, singing of the holy name of the Lord is the fearless process, especially in the association of, when it is performed, in the association of devotees. Sri Shukadeva Goswami says, following in the footsteps of the authorities, Harer namanu kirtanam etan nirvidyamananam ikchatamakutobayam yoginam nripanirnitam harer namanu kirtanam. It is the fearless process for everyone. For someone who is materially attached, for someone who is seeking becoming free from material attachment, or for someone who is already free from material attachment. For everyone, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees following the authorities is the best process, fearless process. Ichatam akutobayam, free from fear, because the holy name is feared by personified fear. So Shukadeva Goswami is saying to Maharaj Pariksit, when death comes, one should become sufficiently prepared or ready to become fearless. That means one should have taken shelter under the lotus feet of the holy name of the Lord and the association of devotees sufficiently to be protected. And then it will be like in the case of Prahlad Maharaj. He couldn't be killed. His father, Hiranyakashipu, wanted to kill him, but he couldn't kill him. So even if our body dies, the soul continues living. We read also in the first canto how Narada Muni, after he attained perfection, the example is given like the flash of the like lightning and the flash, it happens simultaneously. So it is described how Narada Muni that was his experience. He's describing how he went back home, back to Godhead. He saw that death took place in this way, like a flash. And then he entered the body of Mahavishnu, but his entrance into the body of Mahavishnu was very different from the entrance of the conditioned souls who have to stay there for many millions of years in this susupti stage, sleeping and in a death condition for so long, kind of deadly condition. In the case of Narada Muni, he entered the kingdom of eternity. So he was able, it was like the breathing of Mahavishnu. It was just one flash, one moment. And next time he appeared as the son of Lord Brahma, and he received the gift of the Lord, the Vina. He had a spiritual body, and he was able to freely chant the glories of the Lord everywhere, in the spiritual universes, in the material universes. He could travel very freely without any limitations. So devotional service, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, and the association of devotees especially, these are the processes that will give us protection and will keep us alive no matter what. Whatever it happens, devotional service will keep us alive. Sometimes there will be a severe test we'll have to go through. Can be a physical illness, can be extreme social crisis. War and so many different difficulties. But if we continue taking shelter of the Lord, then we are fully protected. We cannot be touched. So we are actually fully depending on the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. So these are some reflections on the topic of death and immortality, as described in many sections of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you like to make any comments or questions...